Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Welcome back, my friends, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 60 for August the 26th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm here to guide you through that magical world of networking, TCP, IP stacks, switches, routers, VLANs, firewalls, and all things that make up that great device called our network with our servers. Folks, this show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Check out all the great tech shows at techpodcast.com. You can't go wrong when you check out techpodcast.com. Also, if you have a minute or two, and I know you're going to want to do this, check out the website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also please leave me a voice message at 724-701-0550. Once again, friends, that's 724-701-0550. You can even ask questions there. Imagine that. You can ask your question, and I can come along and answer that for you. Remember that announcement we had a few weeks ago? Well, we're still going to announce it this week. I am planning on having a live Windows Server class. It probably looks like it's going to be Windows Server 2012. And that class is going to begin in October. Now, we're going to be using a WebEx type of a scenario where that way the WebEx is very high resolution. You can raise your hand. You can ask questions during the live classes. And we can have a great interaction. These classes will be 6 weeks long. And I'm still working out some details. I'm pounding out the details daily, trying to put this stuff together for you. Please email me if you're interested. I need interested parties out there. We want a minimum of 8, and we're going to have a maximum of 15. I think a few shows ago I said a minimum of 15, but that's just too many. Minimum of 8. If we get 8 people, we're going to have this course. And again, it's going to be a maximum of 15 people because I don't think you can teach any more than that in one virtual setting. It will be one night a week. Each class will be approximately 2 hours long, and you will have to attend. At the end of the class, I will mail you. I'll get everybody's mailing address, and I'll mail you a certificate in the mail. So once again, that's going to be starting in October. Keep up with this podcast. Stay tuned for more on that live course. If you have any questions or future or ideas for future shows, you can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter as @technoman, where you get your daily updates, daily doses of Windows Server items, networking, switches, and all things connected. So folks, tonight I thought I would bring you a special show, and we are going to be talking about trust relationships. Now, I know when I first inherited the network that I currently work at, I was inheriting two different domains. And those two domains were not connected in any way. The idea of two domains by many, many, many people is basically this. We believe as technologists that if we have two separate domains, we can keep everybody secure. And we keep everything off of the other domain, and we don't have that cross-connect, and we don't have to worry about all those great things called security features. But since then, I decided I'm going to build a flat network. A flat network is basically everything's connected. There's no VLANs going on. Everything's just interconnected with all of our switches. I don't say hubs anymore because hubs are kind of obsolete, right? We just really don't use hubs anymore because of the way that they interact with everything. We'll be getting into that some shows here in the future. We're going to be talking a lot about networking. We're going to talk a lot about interconnecting routers and all that stuff. But tonight, we got to figure out, if you have two domains, how can you authenticate across both domains? It's very critical that you're able to do this. Now, before we start in our topic tonight, I will tell you that I am live and in living color on Spreaker at Spreaker.com. If you ever want to listen to the show live and you're around on a Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'd love to have you in here live. And it's just like a radio show. They have applications. They have an app for your smartphones, your Android, as well as your iPhone. You can listen to it live there. You can listen to it live on a computer if you wish. When you're working, you can just kind of tune in and just listen along as we're talking about these topics. And you can check out tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Click on the live radio link at the top of the page. And at 8 a.m., we go live. So trust relationships. First of all, let's talk about a trust relationship. Active Directory provides security across multiple domains through inter-domain trust relationships. When there are trust relationships between domains, the authentication mechanism for each domain trusts the authentication mechanism for all other trusted domains. If a user or application is authenticated by one domain, it's authenticated and is accepted by all other domains that trust the authenticating domain. Users in a trusted domain have access to resources in the trusting domain, subject to the access controls that are applied in the trusting domain. Now, sounds like a lot of gibberish, right? Well, let's put a little bit of light on that gibberish. Let's say you have domain dogdays.com, and the other domain you have is called catdays.com. Totally made up, of course. And you want the people authenticating in dogdays.com to gain access to resources on catdays.com. Now, these are internal servers. I know we're using .com. Don't get that confused as public addressing or internal addressing. And so many people get those really, really confused. So many people want to make their networks and their domains so complicated that the normal networking enthusiast cannot walk in and figure it out. I worked with one company. They wanted to make their domain name in their network, and a lot of you probably do this, called, let's say, for instance, dogdays.local and catdays.local, because they're local domains. I come from a very simplified type of family. We believe in the KISS mechanism. I told you that in the past. Keep it simple, stupid. Not that any of you are stupid. Not that I'm stupid. But if we keep it simple and we keep it direct, it makes life a lot simpler, right? So if I name my domain the same name as what's registered outside with the Internet Society, and it's a registered domain name, it just makes my life a lot easier. That's what I tend to do. Just make it really, really easy. Or you could even make it simpler than that. You don't even need a .com or a .local. You could just give it a name. We can work with the actual name of the server itself. Regardless, folks. So you have two separate local domains, two separate servers in your forest. And these servers are sitting there and they're clicking away, and everybody on catdays.com and everybody on dogdays.com is doing their work fantastic. Everything's working. You want to set up a file share because the people on catsday.com, on that particular server, have a shared file folder that they want to share with a couple people on dogsday.com. And you look at that and you're like, well, how am I going to do that? You can definitely set up another account on catsday.com. You can have your user log off one domain and log on to the other domain and access that folder, right? Folks, I believe in 100% my mission in life, my job when I work with my clients or when I work with anybody else, is what is called the user experience. The user shouldn't have to be bogged down with logging out, logging in, and doing all that crap. They shouldn't have to be worried about mapping domain names or mapping network drives and using a different set of authentication, username and password. They shouldn't have to be worried about that. It is your job as a technologist, and probably the reason you come to this podcast is to try to understand a little bit more about what you're doing. So we build a trust relationship. It's very easy. We're going to talk about a couple of different trust relationships that you can work on here, and a couple of different ways you can put these into action. Now, access to resources in any discussion of trust relationships always assumes the limitation of access control, just like you have on one server. Trust relationships allow the users and computers to be authenticated, to have their identity verified by the authentication authority. Access control allows the authenticated user to use the resources, files, folders, and virtual containers that they are authorized to use, and prohibits them from using or even seeing resources that are not authorized for that user. Remember I told you I used to have two domains? And I believe in the power of access control. I believe in the power of the security of Active Directory. And I know when I create a file folder, if I say it's for this user has full or maybe change access to a folder, I don't have to worry about somebody else getting in there because it's controlled by my access controls. But this is taking that envelope and pushing it even forward because you have those two domains. Why not link them together? Now, there is transitive and non-transitive trusts. All right, now let's talk a little bit about those. Let's go all the way back in time, and we're going to talk a little bit about Windows NT 3.1 and Windows NT 4.0. Trust relationships must be created explicitly in one direction. A two-way trust relationship is established by creating two one-way trust relationships. Domains can be connected by explicit one-way or two-way trust relationships for the purpose of enabling access to resources, but they are not necessarily related in any other way. Now, that was on Windows NT 4.0. Now, that was a while ago, and, you know, that's how we did it. It was very much, and back then, it was very much on the computer's NetBIOS name, how we had to find the actual computer. I even had to one time, I had very much success one time by using the IP address of the other server, and I was able to link them together. But today, folks, we know with Windows 2008 and Windows Server 2012, our life now is based on DNS. And we've had these topics before, and we had these talks before about DNS. And I told you that DNS is the grand poobah of your networking. And I'm going to take you back to that story. I don't know if I ever told you a story, but I left a position with a company. And about 2 weeks after I left, the young lady that took the company over, the tech director position over, called me. And she said, "Jack, look, I'm having the trouble. My users are... their logins are taking 20 to 25 minutes to log in." And I said, "Well, okay. What are you using as the DNS settings on their local machine in their TCP IP stack?" And she said, "Well, we didn't put any in. Or worse yet, one time they put OpenDNS in." Now, when you put an outside DNS server in there, what's going to happen is your computer, when it looks for that domain name, it is going to go out to the internet to find that, to resolve that DNS name. This is why it's highly critical that you know DNS and that you have a DNS server in your own network. Make sure that that DNS server is dynamically picking up all your computer names. And if it's not, go in there and put your domain names in there with an A record. And you know an A record is the IP address. And we'll talk about this down the road. I got some shows lined up. Some ideas are going to be talking a lot about networking and a lot about, you know, being able to set this DNS stuff up properly because it's so important. So anyway, I told her, I said, "Well, let's go and set a DNS server up on your active domain server So I logged in, I remoted in, I helped her out. We set up a DNS server. And then what I did was I said, now go to the workstation and in the TCP IP stack, set up a DNS number, but point it back to that server. She did that. I said, reboot the computer and then call me back and let me know how it goes. She rebooted and she said her logins now are probably under 30 seconds. Because now that computer knows to go straight, hits that DNS server, says, boom, here's the domain controller. Thank you. And it logs in. DNS is so important today, especially when you're building trust relationships. If you're having trouble with your trust relationship, you know, trusting one to the other, chances are the one can't find the other. And somebody told me, Jack, well, I pinged the IP address and it pings just fine. Wonderful. How about traceroute the name? Traceroute the name of that other server. That's how you can see if there's connectivity to the name of the server. Because when you're building a trust relationship, we are building it based on the name of the server, not actually the IP address. And yes, it does get resolved in DNS. But when you put that name in there, it has to be able to find it. So trace route the name and make sure it goes right back to the domain controller and doesn't take 40 hops trying to get there. Your life's going to be a lot easier. Now in Windows Server 2008 and 2012, domains can be joined to a domain tree or forest. In each child domain has an automatic two-way trust relationship with the parent domain. The trust relationship is also transitive. And the transitive trust means that the trust relationship extended to one domain is extended automatically to the other domain that is trusted by the domain. The transitive trust is created. The trust relationship between the parent and child domains is accepted by the grandchild domain and vice versa. For example, a user account is authenticated by the parent domain. The user has access to resources in the grandchild domain. Also, if the user is authenticated by a child domain, the user has access to resources in the parent domain as well as the grandparent domain. So it's pretty evident that Microsoft has been working around the clock with this stuff. They know that we, as technologists, as IT enthusiasts, as the network engineer, network specialists out there, it's our job to do this stuff. And Microsoft, if they continue to want to sell us Windows servers, they know that they have to get this stuff more evolved for us. And now, like I said, NT4 used to be a bear. I mean, I used to have a lot of trouble with NT4 when I first got into servers. NT3.51 we used at the very beginning of my career. But then I moved to NT4 and I thought, wow, this is a breath of fresh air. This is exciting. Until I seen Windows Server 2000. Then 2003, obviously 2008, and now 2012. It's like a breath of fresh air. I have a young gentleman working with me, and he said, Jack, look, if they could make this stuff any easier, we'll be out of work. And I said, that's not true, because most people don't even understand what a server is. The physical aspect of a server, somebody once told me, is it a big computer? I said, sure. If that's what you want to buy into, it's a big computer. We don't have to go into all of the, redundancies, the dual supplies, the 8 to 12 physical hard drives in the server. And we don't have to go into all that. Just say sure and move on. Now, the transitive trust relationship are always two-way trust relationships. A non-transitive trust relationship can be created between Windows 2008-2012 domains when a transitive trust relationship is not appropriate, but this trust relationship must be created explicitly. It can be created, for example, between two Windows 2008-2012 domains that are not in the same forest. Now, folks, this is one thing that threw me off. I'm still old school, and I'll tell anybody that. Most times I talk about domains controllers, I talk about a primary. I talk about a backup. I talk about, you know, the other servers. I don't really get into this forest, branches, leaves, whatever the heck they want to talk about. But again, they're trying to make it easier to understand. So if you have a whole, if you have a server room full of servers, let's just say it's a big data center, that housing, that actual unit itself could be considered the forest. And all the domains in there could be part of that forest, right? They're all put together under one umbrella. Now, a trust relationship between, this will go back, Windows Server 2000 domain and Windows NT domain is always a non-transitive trust relationship. If one of these domains is an account domain and the other is a resource domain, the trust relationship is usually created as a one-way trust relationship. This brings me to, and I do it, I'm guilty. This brings me to the, how many of you out there have different versions of server running? I'm sure a lot of you do right now. I'm sure many of you are probably playing with Windows Server 2012, and I would suspect that you should be setting one up just to kind of get the feel for it, get the idea of how it runs, how it's different from 2008. And you probably have 2008 servers running, I would guess, maybe one, maybe two, maybe 20. And you may have a couple 2003 servers running. I see a lot of you out there shaking your head like, yeah, Jack, yeah, I got a couple running. We have one. We have one 2003 server running, and I'm not afraid to tell you that. The 2003 server we have running is a very old domain server. And we have another server that's connected to it. You know, it's joined to that old server, and the folks still log into that resource, that application, and they authenticate against the 2003 domain controller. Does that need to be moved? Exactly right, it does. Before July 15th of next year, and they go, whoop, no more updates for you. Bye-bye, partner. We need to move that up. And I'm not one to move up. I always say, never upgrade to old technology. Be very careful with that. If you're working for clients, and I know we had a discussion a few weeks ago about a client not being able to afford CAL licenses for 2012. The thing is, here's the bottom line. They are going to be paying you for your services again anyway. So you might as well take that money. And I agree, I like making the money from my clients. But I also am trying to think of the right word to use here, very reserved with their money. I want to make sure I get the most bang for their buck, and that way they are happy with me as their technologist. Now, what I mean by that is we simply give them the Windows Server 2012. You don't upgrade a 2003 server to the old server version 2008. That just doesn't, it's not good math. Because then what are you going to do? 5 years from now, you're going to say, oh, you got to upgrade to 2012. And then maybe 2018 will be in, or 2016, or whatever they're making then. So you're always behind an eight ball. And that goes to show you, when you're working with this stuff and you have multiple crossed platforms, you do run into problems like this, like a one-way trust, like being able to only see sources but not authenticate against both of the domain controllers. Well, that's not good either. That's not the way to do things. So the proper way to do it would be to bring them up to 2012. Start rolling all your servers up to 2012. It's here to stay, folks. It's not getting any worse. It's not getting any better. And it does work. You can actually load the classic shell on it so you can make it usable. You don't have to use the tiles and all that prettiness. We talked last week, you can load it and you can actually set it up in core mode, in server core mode, and make it, you know, at least more straightforward at the command line. But when you're building trust relationships and you're installing this software, did you ever see it when you're installing servers, says, do you have blah 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 still on your network? If you're loading 2012, it'll say, do you have any 2008 servers running on your network? And you click yes. because it's going to set it up with backwards compatibility mode where it can talk to that 2008 server. Microsoft knows that. They're like, wait, we got to set it up with some old software to make it talk with that 2008 server. Or if you say, no, it's all 2012s in my domain forest and we're good to go, it's going to be a more secure system because then all the servers are going to talk on the same platform. So I hope that kind of helps you out. Now, let's describe a trust relationship. Now, and I'm going to put these links into the show notes because you got to look at these notes because there is some illustrations on here that shows you the pathway to a relationship. It shows you point-to-point multiple relationships. It also shows you a one-way relationship, and it shows you a two-way relationship. So you can get a really good idea of these different domain relationships. Now, let's talk about a trust in Windows Server 2008 R2 or 2012. A trust in a relationship which you establish between domains that makes it possible for users in one domain to be authenticated by the other domain in the domain controller. All Active Directory trust between domains within a forest are transitive, two-way trusts. Therefore, both domains in a trust relationship are trusted. And it says, as shown in the illustration, and if you go to the website, tipsinourserverroom.com, and click on the link, you will see the illustration. Trust protocols. A domain controller authenticates users and applications using one or two protocols. The Carbose version 5 protocol, or NTLM. The Carbose V5 protocol is the default protocol for computers in Active Directory domain. If any computer in a transaction does not support the Carbose version 5, then NTLM protocol is used. I can't think of any computer that would not accept it. If there is, let me know. I mean, email me and say, hey, Jack, wait, slow down, partner, and tell me what it is, because I'd really like to know if there is a computer. I mean, what would you have to be using? Windows 98? Because I think even XP supports it. Of course, I mean, we wouldn't be using XP now anyway, but I'm just trying to think in my head and clarify this. Now, with the Carbose version 5 protocol, a client requests a ticket from the domain controller in its account domain to the server in the trusting domain. The ticket is issued by immediately that is trusted by the client and the server. The client presents the trusted ticket to the server in the trusting domain for authentication. And that is exactly how the V5 protocol works. When a client tries to access the resources on a server in another domain using NTLM authentication, the server that contains the resource must contact a domain controller in the client account domain to verify the account credentials. Let's back this up and reread this once again so you get this. When a client, so when a workstation tries to access resources on a server in another domain using NTLM authentication, the server that contains the resource must contact the domain controller in the client account domain to verify the account credentials. So it's basically saying that it's looking back. So you have domain dogdays.com and catdays.com, as we started off this conversation with. If there's a client on catdays.com trying to access a resource on dogdays.com, it goes out, it looks for authentication, and it goes to dogdays.com. It says, whoa, dude, can't authenticate you here. The server goes back and says, hey, catdays.com, is this person allowed to be on your server? Yep. Yeah, he's authenticated. Go ahead and give him the resources. Thank you very much. Boom, the resources are handed off, and they're put back into your computer. That's how that contact works with NTLM. So you can see that the Carbose version 5, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And I'm probably chopping that up. But anyway, it is a much faster protocol. That's because it's the newest protocol, right? So it's faster because when you're hitting that server, it's saying, hey, I know who you are. Thanks. You have a trusted relationship back to your domain. I see. I know where you're coming from. You're coming from catdays.com. Great to see you here. Here's your resource. It doesn't have to do any other work. Of course, all that stuff is so very fast that your user experience is not going to go down. It's just going to simply work for you. Now, trusted domain objects, or TDO, are objects that represent each trust relationship within a particular domain. Each time that a trust is established, a unique TDO is created and stored in its domain in the same container. Attributes such as trust, transitivity, type, and the reciprocal domain names are represented in the TDO. Forced trust TDOs store additional attributes to identify all the trusted name spaces from its particular forest. These attributes include domain tree names, user principal name or UPN suffixes, the service principal name or SPN suffixes, and security identifier or SID namespace. So all those are wrapped up in that TDO of that forced trust. Now, let's give you some of my final thoughts. Some of my final thoughts on trust relationships is really this. If you have more than one domain controller and it's two different domain names, I would by all means trust those back and forth. Why? Mainly because of this. It gives you some resources in that other domain that you may not actually have had to begin with. Let's say, for instance, now this is a big stretch here, but this is a push. This is just coming out of my head, folks, so I'm going to try to give this to you straight. If I have a server sitting with three users on it, they're on a separate domain for some reason. Who knows? Maybe it's an old domain and they just happen to be on it working and they're fine. We build a new domain and we put the 20 people on it or so, new people, on that domain. And it's a smaller office. Maybe we only have 25 employees. And on our 20 domain, the domain on the left here, dogdays.com, those individual people, it's a small business, so we're just using everything on one server. The hard drive starts to seem like it's getting full. It's getting a little bloated. Well, there's a couple ways you can remedy that, I guess. One, you can put in a NAS, which is probably what I would do, a network attached storage device, or an array. An array would be much better, be a lot faster. I mean, right now we're running SAS array. I think they run at 22,500 RPMs. They are extremely fast. Now, there's a cost to that, right? And if you're a small business, your CEO probably is not going to be too happy with you when you go in and you ask. And you say, look, I would like to do this stuff, and I'm going to buy an array because you guys are running a hard drive space. I don't think he's going to be too happy with you. So what you would want to do is build a trust relationship between those two domains. Because let's say on catdays.com, where you got those three people working, or five, or whatever it is, you look at their hard drive, their file server sitting, you know, because it's small business, and their hard drive may have, I don't know, 2 terabytes of data free. But yet on your other server, you're down to, let's say 200 gigabyte, and you're getting kind of worried. Well, if you build that trust relationship, you can use those resources on the other domain controller. I mean, it's a win-win situation for you. Now, granted, if I only had 25 people on my domain, I would build one domain controller, and everybody would be on one, and I would take the other server, and I would build it as a file server and have a separate file server. There's something about having your files on the same server, your Active Directory and everything. If you put all your eggs in one basket, one day, sooner or later, the basket's going to drop and you're going to crack a couple eggs. And then you're going to be losing out because you're going to lose data. I mean, that's just the way it works, you know. And I hope that with this show and with the stuff we've been talking about over the past so many weeks, or, I mean, show 60, we've been doing this obviously for 60 weeks, is to always think of your eggs in the basket. You know, if you put all your eggs in one basket and you drop the basket, something will crack. Or worse yet, if you're in bed at night and you're sleeping soundly and you got the covers pulled up around your chin and you know, your air conditioning's blowing on you and you're nice and chilled and you're comfy in your bed, and you think everything's going wrong, but you have a hard drive meltdown or malfunction and, you know, your backup's stopped for whatever reason. I know. That's like a nightmare situation there. But what I'm trying to say is, if you have separate servers, if you plan your backup well, then, you know, everything's going to be better. And you can sleep more comfortably at night. And I used to get a lot of sleepless nights because, you know, before I learned stuff like, you know, programming Cisco firewalls, that's huge. You know, controlling your switches, controlling access to your network, controlling your backups. All that stuff is so critical. And, you know, it can't be, you can't learn it overnight. So piece it out and take each piece at a time. If you don't know backups, hire somebody that does, right? Just hire a company that does backups and let them handle that workload for you. The only other thing I would say, if I had a company that small and not with only those servers, let's say your company's growing now. Let's say you went from 20, now you have 100 people. Instead of building another domain controller, I would build up a child to that primary domain, or a backup domain controller is the way I like to say it. Because then we can have a little bit of offloading of logins, and we found that to be huge in our network. With 700 Windows devices logging in every morning on our network, we found that if you have two or three domain controllers running all on the same domain, people can authenticate across each one. If one is busy, the other one will pick up and take over. That's what they do in sequence. And the logins became extremely fast, and people became extremely happy. I was a hero, and we increased the overall user experience. That's what all this is about, the user experience. Now, let me go back and think a little bit here if I wanted to touch on anything else. I think we covered everything. The big thing is check your DNS. The way to check your DNS is very simply, very, very easy. Go to your workstation. If you go to my computer and go to properties, and if you don't know your computer name, write down your computer name. I'd hope that you have a little label. If you're working a company, every computer should be labeled with the computer name. If it's not, don't worry about it. Go find a computer name. Open up a command prompt. Just click on start, run, type in CMD, open up command prompt, and then type traceroute, T-R-A-C-E-R-T, space, and type your computer name, and see what the IP comes back as. Or if you know the actual NetBIOS name or the computer name of your server, type that in. Make sure that your DNS is working. Do this every now and then for a little check. It never really hurts. And make sure that the DNS is working. Your life will be a lot easier. You will sleep a lot better. And everything will be a great success. So, folks, I hope you've learned a lot tonight about trust relationships and understand it. Many people never use them. I don't know if because we all just have flat networks and everybody just runs everything on one domain controller. I can't believe that in every business because I know we've built new domain controllers and we downed the other ones, so we joined them together until we got the other one down, and it's a nightmare. We will talk 1 week a little bit about migrating servers. That makes life a little bit easier to be able to migrate from one to the other without redoing everything. But until that day comes, do a little bit of trust relationships, you know, work in trust and learn how to do that. Folks, I am very humbled that so many out there of you are listening to this show. I mean, the numbers have risen amazing. I mean, I started out with maybe 20 or 30 of you out there listening. I mean, now each week we have, you know, 600-700 people pulling this show down. And I really, truly appreciate you listening to the show. And I can't ask you for anything. I don't really want anything from it. Just as long as you're learning is my main goal. But I will tell you, you can help me out for free if you wish, and you can do that by supporting my Amazon link. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, turn off your ad blocker, and then use my Amazon link. When you buy anything, if you buy toilet paper, it doesn't have to be computers. If you buy a model airplane, use my Amazon link. The price doesn't change for you, and the show gets back a couple dollars here and there to help out. Sometimes I hate even saying that, my friends, because it feels like I'm holding out a tin can, like, please give me a tip. I really don't want anything from this. I just want, again, to teach. I love teaching this stuff, and I love sharing this information with everybody out there. I think you need to know more about servers. You need to wrap your head around it and learn as much as you can. The last thing, I will clarify this up with you. If you do want to learn and learn as much as you can know about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi Server from install to administration, folks, A to Z, everything, please sign up for one of my online classes, and you can find it at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Click on the online class link at the top of the page. The courses are very much self-paced. You watch a video and you take a quiz. Don't let those quizzes scare you. I've never had anybody fail those quizzes. Once you complete the course, I will mail your certificate in the mail. Once again, you can sign up either at tipsfromtheserverroom.com or classroom.jackstechcorner.com. Both of those links will take you to the same place. And again, a lot of you are in those courses, and I really appreciate all the support there. And somebody once said, Jack, your courses are too cheap. They must be garbage. And you can't learn for, $200 or $250. That just doesn't make sense. Right now, to the end of the month, they are on sale. They're $50 off right now. So September 1st, they'll go back up to $250. Right now, they're $200. And they said, you can't learn for that, Jack. You can't teach for that. Well, I believe in paying it forward. I believe in sharing information. I think that's what it is. So I just need, and I make enough off of those to be very happy with it. And I just want you guys to learn out there. So take those courses, and, hopefully you'll be as happy as everybody else that has. A lot of people have taken my courses and actually have, retained jobs, found jobs using a certificate. They told me, they put it with their resume, and they said they believe that helped them to get the job because they just took a course and it was fresh. So once again, check it out, tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, I hope you have a great work week, if that is at all possible in the world of technology. I know we're all busy. We're all swamped. Computers, somebody once said, Jack, I know you just got 300 computers in. Can you get those in within a week? I said, a week? They said, Jack, all you got to do is take them out of the box and plug them in. Maybe screw the monitor cable in. What's the matter with you? Are you lazy? And I was like, yep, that's all we do. And a server is just a computer. Hey, as long as you know our job and I know our job, the rest of the world don't have to know our job, right? They pay us for our talents. That's what they pay us for. Somebody once said that we are no more than an insurance policy. They're paying us to maintain their computers to ensure that their companies are running at the fullest. Take care, my friends. I enjoy you being here, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday on Tips from the Server Room. Take care, and I'll talk to you then. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.